Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Of course, it's actually evening. I started with good afternoon, didn't I? But it's nighttime here. It's 11 o'clock, just after 11, and we'll be on until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free line is open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this evening. Of course, my name is Pastor Al Davis. I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we welcome you to the program here tonight. We're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory tonight. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to people this evening. Help us to point people to Christ. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, it's good to be with you tonight. And just a reminder, if you want to find out more about us, more about our church, more about the program, if you'd like to listen to past programs or maybe you're in an area where you don't get a chance to hear our Friday afternoon program, we have a half-hour program from 1:30 until 2 o'clock every Friday out of AM 1220, The Word, in WHKW in Northeast Ohio. And that is also available online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And every once in a while, I get to pinch hit for somebody else on another program. And in fact, last Friday, I filled in on a local program here for Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, on his program for the Cause of Christ. And I filled in with him a couple of times, or for him a couple of times. And so those programs are on there as well. In fact, last Friday on his program, I spent most of the program talking about the Godhead, or what we sometimes refer to as the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and how that they are one, and yet three parts to God. And we might talk about that some more tonight as well if you've got questions, but I encourage you to go to our website. I've got some information there about that, and just different things that I post there. And so I encourage you to check us out live at pastoral.com. But since we are a live program, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I'm trying to get my computer booted back up here right as the program came on the air. Wouldn't you know it, my computer decided to crash. These things happen. But I was going to mention some things that are posted at our Facebook page for Late Night with Live with Pastor Al. You can find it, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. That's where you'll find us at. Go to Facebook if you're on Facebook and find us at Live with Pastor Al. You can also link from our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. You can go there and link to our Facebook page as well. But I have just been fascinated, and I've talked about this a little bit over the past couple of weeks here on the radio. I have been fascinated. We're in the midst here in northeastern Ohio, or at least portions of northeastern Ohio, with the rise of the 17-year cicada. And these are, I just remember the first time I saw them, I think it was about 1964 or 5, I think was the first time that I saw them. I was just a kid, and I can just remember being fascinated with them because they're these big, weird-looking bugs with great big red eyes that stick out, and they don't hurt you. I mean, they can't bite you. They can't sting you, and it's the adult form of the cicada, and they spent 17 years underground. They all rise in mass, and I just look at this, and the just the marvel of God's creation and the uniqueness, the things about it that you just cannot account for with evolution. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that God made all the creeping things, and these certainly are creeping things, and they emerge in mass, literally millions per acre can emerge, which means billions of them are coming up all at one time. And we watched one actually on our porch last night. It was on the back of a chair at molt. And what I mean by that, when they come out of the ground, they come in the nymph stage, and then the shell kind of dries out, the exoskeleton. Insects have an exoskeleton. All the muscles are on the inside of the exoskeleton, pulling against the exoskeleton, which is on the outside. And that's the opposite of us. We have the bones on the inside with the muscles on the outside of the bones pulling on the bones on the which are on the inside. So we're the other way around. But see, the thing that happens then when the cicada is ready to molt from the nymph stage after it comes up out of the ground, that exoskeleton begins to dry out a little bit, and then it kind of starts to split open there on the back, and the adult cicada manages to emerge, and it's larger than the nymph starts. And part of it's because it's just kind of all folded up inside, and as it comes out, it's kind of almost like accordion fashion. So we were watching it, and I was marveling this because I studied biology and just still got an interest in these things, even though I wasn't too much into entomology, but still it's fascinating watching this. And so there's a number of pictures on our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al. And if you want to see some pictures and even some video showing the cicada, the adult emerging from the exoskeleton of the nymph, and looking at that, it's absolutely incredible to watch. And it's a testimony to God's creation, because this entire bug that turns out to be larger than what starts is squeezed into this shell, where it has actually changed form inside of the shell. It has actually changed in appearance. It's changed its form into a different looking creature that has to extricate itself from that shell, kind of like a baby chicken, a chick coming out of its egg, only it's quite a bit different, really, when you think about it. And it's remarkable. And then when it gets out, it has to spend a while before its new exoskeleton begins to harden. And during this entire time, this doesn't take place in 5 minutes or so. This takes place over the course of hours. We started watching this earlier in the evening and checking on it during the course of the evening, and this literally took hours. And I failed to see the evolutionary advantage to having a animal or a creature, an insect, have to remain completely defenseless for hours on end. And then when it finally comes out of the shell, it still takes time for it to be able to allow its wings to fully expand and its exoskeleton to harden and to be able to fly off. I mean, it's completely defenseless. There's no way that it can escape from any kind of a predator. In fact, its main survival mechanism, you would call, is the fact that so many of them all come up at once, and they emerge on a life cycle that's based on a large prime number. Prime numbers being numbers that are divisible only by themselves and the number one. And so you have two different types. There's a 13-year cicada and the 17-year cicada, and both of them are very similar. The 17 is what we have here emerging in northeastern Ohio right now. So fascinating. If you're in an area, and there's broods that are emerging in various parts, in particularly the eastern part of the United States, every other year or so. And then there's some annual cicadas that really they're sort of a biannual one, but they're emerging all the time, not in such great numbers. But even them, they still go through much of the cycle. But these 17-year cicadas are in the ground all this time, and they can't sense the light. They're underground feeding off from the sap that comes through the tree root. And they spend 17 years there. It's not the freeze and thaw cycle that keeps track of the time for them, because they might freeze or thaw several times in the course of one winter. But yet they all know when the 17th year arrives And when the temperature hits about 64 degrees, they begin emerging over the course of a few weeks. And amazing, they store enough fat in them that they don't have to eat. All they do is they come out, the males sing their song to entice the females. They mate, the female lays eggs in the twigs on the trees, and then the eggs hatch after a few weeks, and the larvae hatch out, then they fall to the ground, dig into the ground, and they turn into the nymph stage, and they fasten on the tree roots and spend 17 years there. So it's absolutely amazing. I just think it's phenomenal when you see how God created things, and he gave all that attention to something as simple as, I was going to say, a little insect. It's not a little insect. It's an inch and a half long, and so it's a pretty good-sized bug. But if you're in an area where you see them, don't be afraid of them. They can't bite. They can't sting. They just feel a little prickly with their legs when they're on your arm, you pull them off because they're climbing up. They don't scratch or anything like that, so really nothing to be afraid of. And check out our webpage for some of those pictures and videos showing the cicada molting there. Probably talked more about cicadas here tonight than I needed to. Just to remind you, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I was going to share a couple of things with you here tonight as well, in addition to cicadas. And one of them is, as soon as I can get my paper over here, take a moment here and pray about some of the things that are happening around our country. Here in Ohio, there's a praise here. And other states have bills similar to this, but the Ohio Senate here just recently passed a bill to stop Planned Parenthood from dumping aborted babies in landfills. And that's been going on in the state of Ohio. They did some investigation, and they found that this was going on, and some people at the Senate got active. They passed this bill here. And it was thanks to Ohio State Senator Ecker from Miami Township, Republican from Miami Township. And there was also a similar legislation in Ohio House that was approved in April with bipartisan support. And the bill does not require the issuance of a death certificate, but rather it tracks the way that these babies are taken care of through an anonymous identification number, I believe is what it is. But the idea is they're trying to keep these aborted children out of landfills, treat them with a little more respect, because after all, they are human beings whose lives have been ended tragically in many respects. Well, not in many respects, it is tragedy. Thanks to Ohio State Senate, the Ohio House for passing this. Other states are considering similar legislation or have already passed this. Hopefully, Governor Kasich is going to sign this, and hopefully there'll be bills like this in your state if your state doesn't already have something like this. So let me encourage you to check your state legislature, and usually you can find there's some information about this at had it right here, lifenews.com, and you can find out some information about similar bills that may be going on in your state. So you can check that site out, lifenews.com. Well, we've got a caller calling in here, and Claudia, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes, good evening, Pastor Al,
and
God bless you. And I just want to say thank you for your service.
Well, thank you.
In this godly weekend of Memorial Day, and I appreciate all that you do. And I don't know if you know about the states that are suing Obama.
Yes, there's
on this transgender bathroom.
Yeah, there were 11 states, and now Ohio has joined it, or was it 10 states and Ohio has joined it? But Ohio just joined it, so it's either 10 or 11 or 12 states now.
Oh, I didn't know Ohio.
Yeah, Secretary Mike, Attorney General Mike DeWine. It just came out last week. I don't have it in front of me here, but it just came out, I believe, last week that Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine is going to sue the federal government over this transgender bathroom issue. North Carolina has, West Virginia has, Texas has.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Iowa might have been one of them. I'm not sure off the top of my head who all the states are, but yeah, there's counting Ohio, there's either 11 or 12 states now that are suing, and hopefully more states are going to be joining in on this. I mean, it's absolutely unconscionable that they would, you know, with all of the things that we have going on in the world today, all the things we have going on in this country today, that they would take the time to bring this in. I think it's bait and switch, personally. They're getting our attention here with something that they know that people like us will get all, worked up over while they're doing other things behind the scenes. It's the classic magician's trick, you know, the illusionist
to
attract your attention over here with the one hand while the other hand is doing something behind this, you know, over there to accomplish their illusion or their trick.
The illusion. That's correct. Yeah,
and that's,
I believe that.
I can't help but think that something more is going on here.
And that's the Obama thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
He seems to want to bring things, this so menial thing of mm-hmm. a bathroom with such a low percentage of the population.
Oh yeah, it's 0.3%. That's 0.3%, which means that it's catering to less. It's catering to 0.3%, and potentially putting. Are making uncomfortable or upset over 99.7% of the population, that you can, according to their line of thinking, not offend 0.3%. So you're going to offend potentially 99.7% so that you don't offend 0.3%. Makes no sense. Unless your purpose is to offend the majority of people, which I think is their purpose.
Okay.
I have to share with you a picture that I saw online. I actually posted on our Facebook page online. There's four or five young ladies standing holding various rifles and things. And the caption says, "Let some man come into the woman's restroom around here." I thought that was a pretty good one.
I like that. Oh,
hey, Second Amendment rights, right to bear arms.
You're right. That's correct. Exactly. And don't take mine away from me.
Yeah, but with that in mind, though, let me say something too, though, that's going on with this, that they're trying to spin this whole transgender bathroom thing. Because people will say, well, listen, this is going to put at risk women and children as they go into the restroom, especially, you know, young girls going into the restroom or women going into the restroom by themselves. And people say, the transgender have been going into restrooms unknown by most people for years. They're not a threat. They're not going to be attacking people. Well, that may be so, and they may be a tiny percent, but I can guarantee you, There's a story going around in the Cleveland News right now about this guy that's been abducting. He abducted a 6-year-old girl, held her for like 17 hours, and then let her go like several miles from her home. And I saw in the news as I was getting ready for church this morning that he was linked to an abduction somewhere else where he tried to abduct some guy's 10-year-old girl right out of her bedroom window. And so there are people out there. I can guarantee somebody some point is going to use this as a way. They might not be transgendered, but they've got, like this guy, they're looking to abduct some young girl somewhere, and they're going to say, I feel like a woman today. You can't prevent me from going in there.
Yes.
And they're the ones who are going to do this. Maybe the transgendered won't do it, but there are perverts out there who will pretend to be transgender.
That's correct.
That's what's going to happen. And there's also, you know, if people think that high school or junior high school boys aren't going to pull that trick just so they can go into the girls' locker room. They're sorely misinformed, or they're very naive if they don't think that some junior high or high school boy is going to try to do that.
That I believe that. Yes, sir.
And they know this. And you know, I don't know, have you ever seen the book, what is it, Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky?
Yes.
He talks about things in there about overwhelming the system. And yes. Cloward Piven strategy.
Yes.
And it's the same thing. You overwhelm the system until it breaks down, and then you can rebuild it in your own, along your own designs, your own agenda.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I think this is all a part of it. You know, you look at this stuff and you think, how much worse can it get? And then something like this
transgender thing comes out. Exactly. I agree.
We commiserate over this, but I did find an article here while we were talking that I had tucked away in here in a stack of papers that I had. And and he actually, in this article, Eric Metaxas, who there's a program here on our local station and on a number of Salem broadcasting stations, but here locally on AM 1220 WHKW, Eric Metaxas is on in the afternoon. I forget what time he comes on. I think about 3 or something like that. He does a program and he talks about different things. But he actually wrote an article that was published, I think it was about last week or so, May 19th, that's when it was published. And he actually gave some ideas of some things that we as believers might want to consider doing. I won't read the article, but let me just hit the highlights here.
Yes,
because I think there's some good points here, because, you know, we talk about this and we can get all worked up over it. And one of the things is he says that we need to understand the issue. We need to try and learn what's going on with the issue, not just react emotionally, but actually try to find out what's going on and what these people are doing and what their reasons are for this. And like we were talking about earlier, understand that it's only 0.3% of the population that's estimated to be transgender, opposed to 99.7% that's not. And a transgender does not necessarily equate with being homosexual, although many times it does. And then the second thing is, and that's what we're doing right now, what you did by calling this program, is speaking out. Speaking out in forums like this, speaking out at your church, speaking out to your representatives, your government representatives, speaking out at your village and city and town councils, because I think it's still tabled in Cleveland, but Cleveland had a bathroom access bill that was tabled a few months ago that was going to allow anybody to use whatever bathroom that they want in the city of Cleveland. Third thing that he said is to talk to children about this issue, because it's not a comfortable issue, but kids need to be made aware, and so we need to talk about them. And then as Christians, this is the fourth thing, we need to be know who the enemy is. And I would take this one step further. We need to realize that we're in a spiritual battle against, you know, the rulers of darkness, and as what is it Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, spiritual wickedness in high places. And then the fifth thing is, especially for parents that have school-age children or grandparents with school-age grandchildren, is to seriously consider alternative education options, homeschooling, private schools and the like, where they do not have to be in these schools, where going to be subject, your daughter, your granddaughter is going to be subject to having a teenage boy using her shower right alongside of her. And if she complains, she's the one who has to undergo counseling, not the young boy that is suffering from an illness called, gender disparity. What's the last word there? Slipping my mind right now.
I know.
But it's an actual psychological disorder that they're that they're actually suffering from, and they need help.
They need
ultimately spiritual help is what they need, and
that's
unfortunately
correct.
They're not getting it. Instead, they're being allowed to act upon their illness, and they're being encouraged in their illness. There was a John Hopkins psychiatrist, Dr. Paul McHugh, and a very distinguished, well-credentialed individual at John Hopkins, and he basically said that treating people with a gender disorder is like prescribing liposuction for somebody, gender dysphoria, that's what it's called, is like prescribing liposuction for somebody who's suffering from anorexia. So it's just furthering the problem rather
the
than
problem.
Helping it.
Oh, yes, so. Yes. Well, you know, and I didn't know if you knew that there is going to be a protest outside the Target in the Palmertown Mall.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to have to interrupt. We got less than 10 seconds to go. Do you want to hold for the next segment?
Well, no, I just wanted to call and talk to you about that and let you know also about the protest in front of Target at the Palmertown Mall on Ridge Road.
All right. Thank you. And I think the break.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. God bless you and thank you. Good night.
The break caught on the last of that. Can you give me the time on that real quick?
Yes, it's from 12 to 1 on June 4th.
12 to 1 on June 4th. And
the Target on Ridge Road by Palmertown Mall.
Yeah, I know where that's at.
And okay.
Target
yes,
and,
sir.
And
June 4th, 12 to 1.
12 to 1. I'm gonna keep track of that so that on our Friday program I can say something.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, and thank you for your service.
Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. And of course, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, but in Richfield, Ohio, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find them at eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com. That's eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com. And you can find them online there, or you can find them in person at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, perhaps you're out of the Northeast Ohio area, too far to drive a pizza from North Carolina all the way to Northeastern Ohio, I can understand that. But if you'd like to get into the pizza business yourself, or maybe you have a restaurant and you're looking for a great pizza recipe, why don't you give a call to East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And, well, we're going to get back into our program here. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in a light of God's Word. And I was going to mention here something real quick coming up. If you're in Northeastern Ohio, the Cleveland area in particular, that at the close of the last segment here, we were talking about a protest against the transgendered bathroom situation at the Target in Parma on Ridge Road on Saturday, June the 4th, from 12 till 1. I think some of you heard us talking. I thought I was off air at the time, but that's okay. I hope you got the information if you're interested. And that's Saturday, June the 4th, from noon until 1 o'clock at the Target in Parma on Ridge Road. They'll be protesting against the transgendered bathroom issue. Target's losing millions of dollars, and yet they don't want to admit it's because people are not going there over this issue. Well, changing topics here to something a little lighter in a sense. This is something I wanted to share because I just found this interesting, and there's a point to it, because we need to be careful when we read the Bible. We need to be careful to put things in context. I knew somebody who used to always, you know, talk about the danger of taking things out of context, because he didn't say it, but other people have said it. You know, a text taken out of context becomes a pretext. But he would always use this example. He would say, well, the Bible says Cain killed his brother Abel, and it also says, go thou and do likewise, and it also says, what thou doest, do quickly. And those are all things from the Bible, but they're all taken out of context. And so we have to be very careful. And also sometimes we try to read things into the Bible that's really not there. And apparently there's a thing making the rounds on the internet, and I just came across it one day last week. And the claim, if you've not heard this before, the claim is that Shakespeare snuck his name into the Bible in Psalm 46, in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, if you know your Bible history and a little bit of English literature, you understand that Shakespeare certainly was writing around about the time that the King James Version of the Bible was being translated in the 1600s. And so Shakespeare, there's a lot of people who want to try and say that Shakespeare, since he was the great English playwright, was asked to come and have a little bit of help, or provide a little bit of help with the King James Translating Committee. Now, there's absolutely no evidence that he ever was asked to or even remotely involved with this, but nevertheless, this internet rumor is running around right now that Shakespeare not only had a hand in the King James Bible, but he snuck in his name in the Psalm 46, okay? Now, here's how it goes. This is how the rumor goes, and this is how these things work. He was to do this because He was born in the year 1564, which would have made him 46 years old during 1610 when the finishing touches were being put on the King James Version of the Bible. And so if you count in Psalm 46, down 46 words from the top, you'll find the word shake. And then, if you count up from the bottom 46 words, and oh, by the way, you have to not count the last word of the Bible, of Psalm 46, counting up from the bottom, the last word is Selah, and if you ignore that word and count up 46 words, you find the word spear. And so, therefore, Shakespeare tinkered with the text, and he added his signature there. How in the world could this have happened otherwise? Well, problem with that is that, as I said, Shakespeare lived at this time. He was a contemporary of the King James translators. But, as I said, there's absolutely no evidence that he had anything to do with it. The various events and dates in Shakespeare's life are pretty well known and pretty well documented, and nothing shows him having anything to do or to be anywhere near the translation process. Now, the other thing is to get the perfect 46s out of Psalm 46, you have to eliminate the word Selah, and Selah is in the Hebrew text. So Shakespeare would not have eliminated one of the words just to accomplish this. Now, myself, I was thinking about this saying, well, it's 46 in the year 1610, he'd have been 47 in the year 1611. So they could have said, 46 from the top for 1610 and 47 from the bottom for 1611. It might have made more sense. But so they put all this in there, and basically what they did is they found a way that using numbers that they could make it look like Shakespeare signed his name here. Now, the problem with this here is the guy that was putting this together, he came up with something here, and he said this, and I'm going to allude to the New King James here for a moment, though I don't use it, but he said here, and talking about how these coincidences work out, he said his wife's name is Bethany, and at the time that he was writing this column, she was 26 years old, and in the New King James Version, the 26th chapter of Matthew, is in verse number 6, the name Bethany appears, and it happens to be the sixth word from the beginning of the verse, which is the exact age that his wife would have been in the year 1982 when the New King James Version hit the market. So he said, so that must mean she helped translate the New King James Version of the Bible at 6 years old. See how that works? You can find these things if you look well. It's like looking up into the clouds and say, that cloud looks like a dog. That cloud looks like a horse. That cloud looks like a ship. We read some things in there. Now, there are things in the Bible. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are good enough just to look at and see without trying to put imaginary things in there like Shakespeare. So we can disprove Shakespeare having anything to do with writing the Bible. Well, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Tom calling in tonight. Tom, welcome to the program tonight. Hello, Tom. I think we're having some trouble getting Tom on the air here. So we'll try and come back here, and hopefully we'll be able to get Tom on the air so we can see what happens here. Is he still there? I'm not hearing him. Hello, Tom. All right, we'll get one more try here with Tom. I think we've lost Tom. Tom, if you're still out there, we had some problems here. We didn't get you. Give us a call back, and we'll try and get you in here. And when Tom calls in, let me know, and we'll get him on the air there. But again, when we see these things, we need to be careful because God's got a lot of stuff in the Bible, and there are some things in the Bible that underlying things that support the Word of God and the supernatural origin of it. But at the same time, we need to be careful that we don't read things into the Bible. I think we have Tom back. We're going to try again. Tom, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can
well,
you
there
me?
We got you now. Welcome to the program.
Oh, how you doing, Pastor?
Great. Thanks for calling back.
That's interesting what you just said about Shakespeare. I never heard that before.
I hadn't heard it either, but apparently it's been making its rounds on the Internet. And you know, if you heard it on the Internet, it's got to be true.
Well,
I know that because I heard that on the Internet.
You know what? Here's the first thing. I'm not sure where Shakespeare really was in his Christianity,
Oh, yeah. Now, Shakespeare is somebody who is reasonably Bible literate, you know, biblically literate.
Oh, definitely.
And he quoted extensively things out of the Bible, and he used a lot of examples from the Bible in his work. So and actually, it was mostly the Geneva Bible, if I remember correctly, that Shakespeare used. And the Bible, the Geneva Bible, is the immediate predecessor to the King James. The King James is kind of, there's a great booklet I read one time that talks about the King James being the seventh revision in the English language from Bibles that are translated from the originals and from the Antiochian text line.
Yeah, but I always heard that Shakespeare embraced more of a Catholic theology.
He may have, but what I was saying is that his quotations and stuff were influenced by the Geneva Bible.
Oh, okay.
And I know that's been shown there. A lot of the phrases that he uses.
Remember when the Bible codes were, the Bible code was being discussed here maybe 5-10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was Dan Brown's book, right?
Everybody was trying to, decipher numbers and stuff. Listen, here's my take on all that. I think it's a lot of hooey.
That's a good scientific explanation there.
God is not a God of confusion, and why would God trick us in his word? He doesn't trick us.
Well, exactly. Now, it's like I said, there are underlying things in the scriptures that show the unity of the scripture, and there are lots of things that we can dig in and discover in the scriptures that'll edify us and encourage us,
The Old Testament matches the New Testament.
Right.
Throughout, you can match Bible verse for almost Bible verse, well, prophecy that's fulfilled prophecy. But God repeats himself a lot through the Bible. Because why does he repeat himself, Pastor? My take is this, because what did Jesus say we were? We were like dumb sheep.
Yeah.
He didn't call us dumb, but he said we were like sheep. So, you know what? Why does God repeat himself? How many times does he repeat himself when he tells us, do not be afraid, do not doubt, do not fear?
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say some of the other repetition, too, in particular when we go from the old to the new.
Right.
Is to authenticate the New Testament and oftentimes to show the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies.
Yeah,
one
quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to what you were talking with that lady earlier.
Yes.
And you said that something very interesting, and I agree with you, but I don't know. I'm trying to sort it out in my own mind. What you told her, you said you suspect that it's more of a diversion here. It's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like there's a snowball effect with all this stuff all the things that have happened the last couple of years. It's all seems to be reflected against Christian virtues.
Oh, absolutely. And I was talking at our church tonight, and actually our Friday night Bible study, we touched on this as well, about the spiritual battle that's going on round about us at all times.
Right.
And I was referencing in Daniel chapter 10, where you see Daniel had a vision, and as he was praying for 21 days, 3 weeks for the answer to the vision, the angel finally gets through and says, hey, Daniel, the first time you started praying, the very day you started praying, God sent me with the answer, but the prince of Persia withstood me. And
the angel was deterred by confrontations with the evil forces, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what he said. The prince of Persia had withstood him, and it wasn't. And he fought with him for 3 weeks. These angels, these angelic beings, it was a holy angel sent by God who was battling with a fallen angel who had some type of authority over the Persian people that were in control at this time with Daniel. And it wasn't until Michael the archangel came to his aid that he was able to get back. And he said, after he gave him the interpretation of the vision, he said, I'm going to go back and continue the fight with the prince of Persia, and the prince of Grecia is coming. And guess what people overthrew the Persian Empire? It was the Greeks.
Well, and it tells us something too. When you're using the Word of God correctly, and you're actually doing something with it, out in the marketplace,
mm-hmm.
and you're actually living the life, guess what? You're going to have opposition. Correct?
Oh, absolutely. And that reflects in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul writes, "For we wrestle not against," in verse 12, "we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And that's what I was getting at, is we see this stuff with the transgendered bathroom issue. We see this stuff with the same-sex marriages and all. And this is a result of the spiritual battle. You know, these spirits that are trying to influence nations and people, they didn't give up after Daniel's day. Well, they didn't give up after Paul's day. They're still there.
No, and we're living in a very deceptive day, and where all the mainline churches are—they're all crumbling.
Yes,
all crumbling around us.
Yeah,
good churches that used to be out there that preach the Word of God—the Lutherans and the Methodists and well, forget the Episcopalians and the Church of, you know, the Anglicans and everything—they've long ago walked away from the truth.
Well, and it's a sad time in which we live, because the people who should be upholding the truth are abandoning the truth. And
well, it looks like the Methodist Church is ready to split up again, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah, over some of these very issues.
So I think don't you see a trend here setting, though? And then I'm going to get off and give somebody else a chance. But don't you see a trend setting here?
Mm-hmm.
It's paralleling this idea of you know, of one world government. It's also being structured right now, and I think God is bringing it about where all the churches, because there's going to be a false prophet too during the tribulation. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what's interesting? What you were just saying there.
Going to come under a one world government. There's going to be a one world church after. My understanding is after the true church is taken out.
Yeah, and that's what the Bible teaches. But I was going to say that the Pope just recently welcomed one of the top Islamic, I think it was a Shiite, or not Shiite, Sunni Islamic clerics to the Vatican, and had made a statement that basically elevating the Quran up to the same level as the Bible.
He wants an ecumenical movement with Islam.
Yeah, And this is not something that's new. This goes back to Pope John Paul II, because during the reign of Pope John Paul II, he commissioned a cardinal by the name of Joseph Ratzinger, who went on to be his successor pope, to put together the Catholic Catechism, the official, you know, document of what the Catholic Church believe, what Catholics are supposed to believe. And in that, they refer to Muslims basically as having truth.
They're starting to introduce it into the churches too.
Yeah, and this is not happening. I'm not just picking on the Catholic Church here. This is happening in mainline denominations.
Oh, and let me tell you, there are some devout Catholics who truly do know the Lord, and they're worried about it. Let me tell you, and because I know some.
Well, and
there's
that's
a lot
why,
of them that.
Yeah, I encourage them to do what Martin Luther did when he knew the Lord. He realized that it's time to get out. But
yeah, well, Luther tried to reform the church.
Yeah, and they gave him the boot for it.
Yeah, exactly. But
so,
God brought that about. So
yeah.
We both
well,
know that.
And
talking to you. God bless. Have a wonderful Memorial Day. Let's be thinking about all the good men that served this nation all the way back through America's history. And I know, you know, like people in my own family that served and everything else. And so I'm going to the Brecksville parade tomorrow, and we're going to watch the parade and go listen to the speech and honor the war dead.
Well, and thank you for pointing that out. That's something that I wanted to talk about here too before the program comes to an end. I want to encourage people tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow is not just the kickoff of summer and the time for to have a barbecue and a party and all of that. It's a very special day.
And I think God is honored when we do this, when we remember good people.
Well, Tom, you would not have the freedom to call this program like you're doing right now, nor would I have the freedom to call this program if it weren't for the sacrifice of about 1.2 million Americans. I mean, let that number sink in a minute. Nearly 1.2 million Americans, it's estimated, have given their lives. These are people who have died in service to their country from the Revolutionary War to the present. Nearly 1.2 million. That's just an incredible number. In addition, it's estimated there's been about 1.4 million who have been wounded in combat. Now, there's been tens of millions of people who have served in the military who were not wounded, who were not killed, and their service is nonetheless important. It's not of lesser importance because they didn't get wounded or killed or didn't serve in an active war conflict.
Right.
But, Memorial Day is the day to remember that 1.2 million that gave their lives for our freedom.
A lot of good fine. I was in law enforcement a lot of years, and I think of those guys, too. They're
yes.
just in as much of service, and they got a tough job out there today.
In fact, I point out a few weeks ago, I'm trying to think what it was now, the exact date. I think it was close to Mother's Day. Unfortunately, I did not realize this myself, but they have what they're calling, I think, the Law Enforcement Memorial Day now.
Yeah.
And if you're familiar with that, and these are people who, in our law enforcement community, and I've got relatives that have been in law enforcement, retired from law enforcement, and no less a sacrifice than those that put on the military uniform of our country. Those men and women that have put on the uniform of law enforcement
right.
and given their lives to service of our country.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm a veteran myself, and I like Veterans Day, and that's nice and all. But, we have to remember Memorial Day really isn't another Veterans Day. It's a remembering those who gave their lives. Veterans Day is for, those of us who served and didn't get killed, and for all veterans, including those that did get killed. But this
That's
is a
right.
special
it
day.
It began in the South, that.
Declaration Day.
Declaration Day began with the South. Actually, it was Southern women that started it after Civil War.
Exactly. And I can remember my grandmother always wanted to go up to the cemetery.
Ask that question to 10 Americans, and you'd be lucky to get one answer correctly.
Yeah. But I always liked see my grandmother. She always wanted somebody to take her to the cemetery on Declaration Day, flowers. That's what she called it, Declaration Day, not Memorial Day, because that was the original.
It was the Decoration Day, absolutely.
Yeah, did I say Declaration or Decoration? I get my tongue wrapped around my IT. Can't see what I'm saying. Yeah, Decoration Day. I'm going to get confused here. It's late.
Listen, great program. God bless.
Well, thank you, Tom, for calling. I appreciate that.
And I'll be in touch.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And again, let me encourage you, take a chance to go or an opportunity to go out there. Most communities that are in the area where we're broadcasting across this country, they're going to have some kind of service at a local cemetery.
I said I'm going.
Pardon?
I told you I'm going.
Yeah, you're going to. I'm talking about the listeners as well. You're going to the Brecksville one. I'm going to try and get up to the Richfield one, and that's where I plan to be.
My dad, I've got loved ones in the cemetery up there.
I've got some relatives in the Richfield Cemetery. But for our listeners, I encourage you to get out, and your community, I'm sure, has got something. There'll be a parade, perhaps, or there'll be a group gathering in a local cemetery somewhere, remembering those that gave their life in service to our country. And I always like to point out, when you remember that 1.2 million Americans that died for our freedom, that should make you even more remember the one, Jesus Christ, who died for our salvation. I want to thank you for listening tonight. God bless, and have a blessed Memorial Day.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.